It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Brad Biggs. Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report.
With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend who joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, new tires for spring. Check them out, Aturo.com. Big Zay.
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Let's start with something a little out there. We'll get to more specifics, but I'm curious how you feel about the idea of an 18th game, about the expansion of a football season that used to be 16, now is 17, to 18, perhaps relatively soon. It feels like they're moving pretty quick with it.
Well, the greed of NFL ownership knows no boundaries, guys. So, yes, they will get to 18. It's all about money. And when they can agree to share a big enough piece of the revenue with the players, they will go along with it as well. Some might not be thrilled, but if there's enough money, yeah, they'll be willing to do it as well.
So, Brad, Ben Johnson spoke down at the NFL owners' meetings in Palm Beach, and according to some of the tweets and reports of people down there, he said a couple interesting things about Bears personnel. Number one being Jaquan Brisker is cleared, and he will be part of the offseason workouts that begin next week, and that Braxton Jones will be limited, but it seems like there was, based on Ben Johnson today in Braxton Jones' own report last week, he seems to be trending in the right direction. Both of those guys would be big parts of this team next year. What's your reaction to their progress?
What would have been newsworthy if they said Jaquan Brisker would not be able to work out in the gym next week? Like, that's been expected all along. So I don't know that I find an update on Brisker newsworthy when we're basically told at the end of the season that he had been cleared. He was fine. And they, you know, they just took the right approach after he had missed so much time. You know, he got the concussion. The symptoms lasted longer than they expected. And when you got near the end of the season, it wasn't simply a concussion issue. It was a concussion issue combined with the fact that he wasn't in football shape. Like, the guy hadn't been out there practicing football for so long that there was no chance of getting him back on the field at the end of the season. And in terms of Braxton Jones, yeah, it looks like they've said some positive things about him. Of course, that wouldn't preclude them from making a move in the draft at that position. But if they don't do that, certainly he's probably the incumbent when he's healthy to be the starting left tackle. And he's proven at times that he can play. It's certainly a high enough level to get that job done, and it's a big year for him, and are in the final year of his rookie contract.
I am curious, Brad, when you hear a guy like Ben Johnson say that he doesn't really he believes in watching tape to determine whether a tackle has long enough arms, as opposed to he said that you can tell right away if someone has an issue with long enough arms by watching the tape. You don't need to see the measurements. Now, that would seemingly be a direct reference to the LSU tackle, Will Campbell, and whether or not, you know, I guess his arms grew somehow on his pro day, and he's now at 33 inches as opposed to 32.5/8 or whatever it was. And either way, it's not 34, which is considered kind of the bare minimum for a tackle in the NFL.
Yeah, with Will Campbell, it's going to be an evaluation of where you think he fits. And I know there are teams out there that are evaluating him strictly as a guard, okay? And there are teams out there that if they get him, would try him at left tackle first and see how it works out, because it's the premier position. Feeling comfortable that, you know what, if he is a little bit out of place there, that he can be moved inside and be an elite guard. Like, I talked to one guy, and he said that, his hope for Will Campbell – and this is a scout. He's just talking in general. Like, if I was in, you know, Will Campbell's camp, I would hope somebody would draft him relatively high. And he said, have the stones to just play him at guard, because he thinks he's going to be a fantastic guard. Now, you look at how he performed this past season, and it didn't look like the arm length was really an issue at all until, according to some folks I talked to, there's a couple games late in the season for LSU where it showed up on tape. South Carolina, fantastic defensive front, probably was an issue for him there. But the guy said that knowing that, he thinks he's super smart and he's a hard worker and could potentially adapt to be able to handle it in the NFL.
What did you make of Ben Johnson saying during an interview yesterday that Tyler Warren intrigued him, and that he was a guy at Penn State that did everything from the Wildcat and to working out of the backfield, and then Dennis Allen, watching on tape, said, whoa, that would be a guy that would be really hard to stop. And I wonder, number one, could it be, you put it out there, a little gamesmanship involved, but also could be just an offensive coordinator, a play caller, who is now a head coach, being enamored with a guy that would give him a lot of versatility in calling plays.
Yeah, a ton of versatility. I mean, Tyler Warren is a fantastic player. 49 receptions in his first three seasons at Penn State. More than double that this past year with, I think he caught more than 100 balls, bunch of touchdowns. I mean, total package at the tight end position, ability to catch the ball, to be involved in the running game as a blocker, like gritty guy, the kind of player I think you want in your locker room. The Bears can say a lot of great things about him. I don't know that he's going to be available at number 10. Like, it's fun. It's a fun discussion to have. How could he fit in? How could he be deployed? How could he be paired with Cole Kmet? It's a fun discussion to talk about Ashton Gentry, the Boise State running back. I don't know that either one of those players will be on the board when the Bears are selecting at number 10.
Yeah, I think that it's fascinating to kind of think about the way he's talked about this draft. And I wonder, Brad, if, you know, would you prefer them to grab best player available, grab someone? I don't know how many Blues people think there are in this draft, but let's say it's six players. If one falls to them, do you take him regardless at the 10th pick, or do you want to keep trying to work on maybe line of scrimmage stuff?
Well, I think if you've evaluated a player that's elite, it's
false to
scheme transcendent, yeah, you know, all that type of stuff, they don't have enough of those players at Hollis Hall. Like, and the one of the reasons why they've been bringing up the rear for a while in the NFC North and had their struggles in the division is because when you stack up their roster against the other teams in the division, they have a shortage of elite football players. And I know that they have helped themselves out in free agency, but I would suspect most folks out there think that they've done more good for themselves than they actually have. Like, the free agency can be overrated. Drew Dolman could turn out to be a really good football player for them at center. Most of the other stuff is shorter term or kind of a coin flip. They've invested in Deo and they're betting on his upside, but that's a bet, right? Like, that's a gamble there with him. So they need more difference makers in order to be a competitive team in the NFC. When you talk about, hey, the season's going to kick off, who are the three or four best teams in the NFC? Like, the Bears haven't been within any distance at all of that conversation for several years now. Although, you know, you'll have found folks the last couple of years that would put them in that conversation at the start of September annually, but that hasn't been the case. I think they need more elite players to get in that territory.
So when you see the tush push is going to be voted on later this morning and it needs 24 votes to outlaw, essentially ban the play from NFL games next year, what is your expectation? And do you know where the Bears stand on this? The Packers have gotten a lot of attention and some criticism and being at the forefront of this, but do we know for sure that the Bears aren't exactly, you know, crazy about the idea of the tush push and they might be voting against it too?
Yeah, if it's a Packer-led movement, you would expect George McCaskey to be walking the other direction, right? Like, I don't see him following the Packers.
I don't know.
Like, I think George was one of one or two owners that voted against expansion of 17 games, right? I believe. I'm not positive on that one, but I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it's. I think we could all agree it's not a football play. Like, when you.
I don't agree.
I
think it is a football play.
Really? Okay. Yeah. It looks like a rugby play to me, Dave. But
I know, but telling you, I'm not agreeing.
I mean, when you wax nostalgic about Friday Night Lights.
It has nothing to do with that. It's a football play.
I think most people disagree that it's a football play. I don't I don't know that I buy the whole safety piece. Like, a quarterback sneak, period, is a play that puts your quarterback in jeopardy, right? You better feel good about the durability of your quarterback to be running sneak plays with him. The Eagles have perfected this play with a quarterback that can squat Lord knows how many pounds. Mm-hmm. He's so strong. They've got a fantastic offensive line. The play is almost unstoppable the way they run it. But, yeah, we'll see. To get 24 owners on board is tricky for NFL owners unless it involves making more money. And this, has nothing to do with finances.
I guess that Ben Johnson today said there will be 3 to 5 captains. They won't have 8. There'll be 3 to 5. They'll be voted on by players at the beginning of the year.
They're always voted on by players. They always say it's voted on by players. And
then they stuff the ballot box.
Well, they'll never tell you they stuff the ballot box. And I'm not saying that they'll stuff it here. But, yeah, everyone gets excited about the captain thing and this. Yep. That. I mean, these are professional athletes, okay? And when you boil it down, they're mercenaries, okay? They're like hired guns for the Chicago Bears. There's hired guns for the Indianapolis Colts. Like, if you don't have self-starters in your locker room, it's going to be very difficult for you to have the kind of work environment where people are going to grow and get better as a team. And people have been fascinated with that. Like, well, what about the captains? How many captains? What are the captains? Like, if the other 40 some odd guys in the locker room need to be kickstarted by the captains, you've got a big, big, big problem.
So also what Ben Johnson alluded to this morning is he called Karan Amagaji a potential developmental prospect and a lot of traits to work with, not discouraged at all by what he put on tape. He got put into some tough situations in 2024. When we talk about left tackles and drafting one and the return of Braxton Jones, how much do you think that Karan Amagaji will be a factor on this offensive line next year? And will he be a guy that is considered to be, if he is a prospect that is developmental in the eyes of Ben Johnson, could he be a guard moving forward?
I think you got to stick with him at left tackle and see what happens there. Like, you need to give this guy an offseason, a training camp, and a preseason playing that left tackle position. And in my mind, I think you need to, if you want to give him a chance to flourish, you need to put him in one place and allow him to stay there and see what he can do. And he didn't have the offseason or training camp or preseason last year, had a very limited number of snaps during the season, most of them in that road game at Minnesota, very difficult position. You got to think of it. It's a fresh start for everyone. It's a fresh start for a guy like that who is going into year two in the league, and it's same way. It's going to be a fresh start for a guy like Cole Kmet, who's been around a long time, and it goes back to the Matt Nagy era. So if it's a fresh start, you're evaluating this guy from the beginning, and I wouldn't rule out the interior thing, but I think if you truly want to give this guy a fresh start and you believe in him as a prospect, you're going to allow him to really work at one spot and not try to complicate it for him further. If they've gotten different input from some of their offensive coaches, the line coaches, maybe you change that thinking, but give the guy a chance to flourish, right?
Mm-hmm. What did you think of his thoughts on Braxton Jones, and what are yours on Braxton Jones?
Well, I wasn't there. I didn't hear
right.
Word for word what he said about Braxton Jones, but talking about him needing some time to in order to get fully cleared going into perhaps the summer from that ankle surgery. But Braxton is out of the walking boot, and that certainly puts him in a position to be able to do some stuff on the field here in the coming months, you would think. I'm sure rehab's involved, getting stronger. And I did see that they had talked about maybe trying to add a little weight to him.
Yes, but that's what he said. Yeah.
But before you're doing that, obviously you're rehabbing that ankle. You're trying to get your strength, mobility back, and things of that nature before you're, you know, putting a plate of 3 or 4 ribeyes in front of them.
Good stuff, Brad. Thanks.
Great stuff, buddy.
Have a great day, guys.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune. He said, the number one thing, in my opinion, the tackles need to do is pass protect. I think he's got the feet to get that done. We're going to challenge him, maybe gain a little bit more weight so we can anchor a little bit better in pass pro. But everything I've seen so far has shown a phenomenal athlete out there on the edge, and we feel like we can work with him.
That's a good plan, and I think that's a good attitude. We'll hear more from Ben Johnson in the next segment. But I think when you talk about Braxton Jones, Mully,
yep,
you're talking about a guy whose experience shouldn't be ignored. You know, I think when you talk about...
That's their investment in him.
They've invested seasons in him, starts in him. And if he is healthy, and maybe that's a big if, maybe that's a bigger if than his competence if he is healthy. But if he's healthy, you got a guy that is experienced at a position that's a premium position, is at a very affordable rate. I wonder if we're overlooking that possibility that he could be steady.
But Biggsy makes a great point, too. If you want him to put on more weight, you got to wait until he's back.
Wait until he's mobile.
Yes.
Get his mobility back.
Yeah.
Then add the strength.
The worst thing you can do is try to put more weight on him before he's...
One has to come before the other.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Interesting stuff. We'll hear from Ben Johnson. We got a lot of a tape cut from Ben Johnson when we come back. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming up.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Mornings with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
I think he's right on track, and so will that mean he's limited in training camp? I would say probably at this point, but I think the progress is right where it needs to be right now. And yes, absolutely. Listen, the number one thing, in my opinion, that tackles need to do is pass protect, okay? And so I think he's got the feet to get that done. We're going to challenge him to maybe gain a little bit more weight so that he can anchor a little bit better in pass pro, but everything I've seen so far has shown a phenomenal athlete lead out there on the edge that we feel like we can work with.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is the voice of Ben Johnson down in Florida at the NFL owners meetings, and he is talking about Braxton Jones in that particular clip. We discussed that a little bit earlier. Braxton Jones coming back from an ankle injury. Doesn't look like he'll be ready to go next week.
But
he will be ready to go at some point.
And Mully, we know his plan for Braxton Jones. I find the transparency really refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we might find a point in time where you may be too open for your own good.
Sure.
Some people may criticize him for that. I won't be doing that, I don't believe, because I like the fact that everything that you ask Ben Johnson, if you ask him a question, you should expect a full, complete answer. And he was full of them this morning. He talked for about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
It's very interesting. I thought that the most interesting thing he said, and we should play this cut.
Okay, which one are we going to start with?
This is called EPA, is an advanced statistic in professional football, which is expected points added. And it is basically the expectation on the offense to score depending on plays run, down and distance, etc.
Advanced metric.
It's an advanced metric, expected points added. Let's listen to what he said about it.
The way I understand it right now from our analytics team, the EPA in the passing game is really one of the most critical factors in determining wins and losses right now. That's probably changed over the last 5 years or so. I would have said 5 years ago, turnovers, takeaways, that was number one. From what I understand now, that EPA for the passing game has now surpassed that. So whatever team has the higher passing game EPA at the end of the game, they generally win that game. It's over 80% of the time. So it's a huge stat, and that's where we look to how do we help inflate that number, higher completion percentage, more run after catch opportunities. That's not to say we're not going to take our shots down the field and look for big explosive plays, chunks or touchdowns that way, but there's a lot of ways we can get that done.
If in fact that is true, Mully,
unbelievable.
It changes the entire way that you view games.
It does.
And that you go into games thinking, well, how many coaches traditionally look at winning the turnover battle and the turnover margin is the way that you can expect victory and expect success? Lovie Smith preached it for 9 years here. And now we have the new mathematician in town, also the head coach of the Bears.
Yes.
Stressing EPA, and nobody's going to dispute that because I'm sure he's got the numbers to support that. What does it mean on the field in terms of the point of emphasis? You just heard him. Short passes, yards after catch, downfield passing game stress, and protecting the football.
I mean, it is antithetical to the way you were taught football and the way that you have learned it. With turnovers in particular, you hit a certain number, and you can't win a game.
Well, I don't know. You're right. And that's what I mean. It's totally contrary to, we're going to have to deprogram a little bit. And I
right.
think the new Ben
right.
Johnson is going to cause us to look at things a lot differently than maybe we are used to looking at it. Not that it's wrong, it's just different. I wonder this too. Does that mean that in the context of Caleb Williams, EPA, it's part of it being efficient. You still
yes.
want to protect the football.
Yes.
But is this encouraging him to take more chances? Because you don't necessarily lose the football game if you lose the turnover battle in your mind. You understand?
Yes.
So I wonder if that is changing the approach to game planning, to play calling, and maybe a little bit more risk because you're looking for a little bigger reward.
Okay. This is just part of looking at EPA.
Mm-hmm.
There is there are different statistics within them, one of which is big play rate. And the idea is the percentage of plays in which an offense's EPA is greater than 0.90, which basically means 80 percentile of all offensive plays. So therefore, with a big play rate, if it's greater than 20%, then you're more explosive than average, and your success rate on big plays will create a higher expectation of victory
yes.
than if you were to turn the ball over,
as
you say.
It's a very good explanation. It's something that's going to take some time to get used to, but it's fascinating to hear him to address
yes.
it down in Florida. The other thing that he talked about, there are many other things. We'll get to this, though. We talk a lot about Ashton Jeanty and the allure of the running back at 10
yes.
if they were to go that route. And we always talk about, well, DeAndre Swift and Ashton Jeanty, 1 and 2, because that's what he did in Detroit, because Jahmyr Gibbs was drafted and they had David Montgomery. He addressed how the Lions viewed that 1-2 punch in Detroit.
If I remember correctly, because free agency starts first, we acquired Montgomery. He had a heck of a start to his career here in Chicago and felt good about his play style and how we wanted to play football there in Detroit, and it really translated well. And then when you get into the draft prospects, we viewed Gibbs as more of a weapon, not necessarily 1A, 1B, but more they could coexist and really complement each other's skill set. And to me, that's how you want to construct the roster from all your skill positions, is you don't want 5'6", 4 guys necessarily in the receiver room. You want more of a basketball team where you got the point guard, you got the power forward, you have a wealth of different skill sets that you can look to call upon wherever you're at in the field or whatever situation arises.
I love
that's really interesting.
That is
yeah.
interesting.
Because that tells you that, like, for instance, you look at the Bears' receiving core right now.
Right.
And you've got the big receiver.
You got the big guy.
You drafted him
yep.
last year.
That's Roma Dunze.
You've got a guy that can yak with the best of them.
DJ Moore.
And do you have the over-the-top?
I don't think you do.
Speed guy.
That's why I think they were doing that in Texas. They're looking at some speed guys at their pro day down
yes.
there.
Yes.
You look at the kind of receiver you can get later in the draft.
Yes.
It's typically speed guys that take the top off the defense. Sounds like when you're putting together in the basketball analogy too, it sounds like that's what you're missing.
Yes.
From this Bears offense. Also, it made you think of this. Two things for me. Tyler Warren could give you a lot of different varieties and a lot of different combinations if you're looking for just that kind of basketball lineup and
yes.
the different skill sets. But also, to the point of referring to Montgomery and Gibbs in Detroit, Ashton Jeanty would come to the Bears. Would they view him as a weapon the way they did Jahmyr Gibbs? Jahmyr Gibbs could also be a receiver.
Yes.
I don't know if Jeanty is thought of in those terms.
I remember watching video of his workout day, and he did catch some passes. But the way that he caught him even, David, he kind of turned his body around, and it wasn't as natural as his running ability.
More runner than receiver.
Yes.
And I wonder if that would not make him weapon in terms of the description
right.
and more runner than weapon. And may be semantics, but I do think it's interesting.
And again, not complaining or anything, but without a 40 time, is he that wet? Don't you need to know?
You got to know how fast he is.
If he has burst.
They've got to know that, right?
Well, and again, I don't know. I think you can see that on tape, but I don't know. that you can judge that versus an NFL defense.
It's hard to judge that when you're running away from Mountain West defenders and when you're running away from Detroit Lions.
That's right.
I think there's a big difference there.
I agree with you.
So I'd want to know that, have that question answered. So that's very interesting comparison. Speaking of the draft, Mully, he also addressed why this year there seems to be good depth in the draft and why it's good to have as many day two picks as the Bears have.
It's a great draft to have those day two picks. 39, 41, 72, I think those are great value picks this year. You're going to be able to find some really good players that can be contributors, maybe not day one, but at some point over the course of the season. And we'll see. We have some depth concerns throughout the roster that we're looking to fill, but we feel really good about how the rosters come together through free agency.
They have three of the first 41 and four of the first 70?
Yes.
And that sounds
I think their third-round pick 72.
Okay,
yeah,
four of the first 72. And that's a draft that seems to be loaded at certain positions, running back being among them.
Tight end, maybe.
Tight end, perhaps. Offensive tackle, if they don't get a guy.
Generally speaking, if you don't get your left tackle early, you're not going to find him late. Now, they've got a left tackle they got in the fifth round. But I think if you were to put together a board of all the starters in the league, you would find that like your top tackles are usually fairly high in the draft, your left tackles in particular.
So
they're usually first-round picks, and they're usually pretty high.
That's kind of the direction you want to go if you're going to take a left tackle.
Yes.
You'd want to take them at 10.
Right.
And I think that's why we both sort of think at the end of the day, after all the hype settles and the hoopla dies down, Will Campbell, if he's there, is going to be a no-brainer for the Bears. Perhaps.
Yes.
Because the others seem like luxuries I'm not sure the Bears can afford. And frankly, I think they might be hypotheticals because both Genty and Warren could be off the board by the time the Bears are on the clock.
Right.
So that would make sense for a lot of different directions, which is why Ben Johnson probably sounds like he's been spending more time preparing for the draft than in previous years. This is what I have to say about that.
There's no doubt about it. The way we had done it in Detroit was coordinators and position coaches were very much involved. And it's a similar process here in Chicago. I think Ryan's done a phenomenal job in terms of listening to us. We'll still go over our evals as a group that's coming up in the near future. But we've been able to sit down, me and him, and I mentioned yesterday that the coordinators were involved in the process as well. It's just a preliminary round of some of the top guys and what we thought just off the cuff. It'll be great to get the position coaches involved as well.
By the way, he also said some great stuff about their running backs coach, as did Andy Reid.
Eric Bieniemy.
Say some great things about Eric
Bieniemy.
He said
praise.
That his phone blew up when they hired Eric Bieniemy. And then he also said he's going to coach the...
blank?
Not blank. It's a different... He's going to coach the number one, not the number two out of him. How's that? Without saying what he said. Because I was confused by the turn of phrase.
He's going to coach him hard. Let's just say that.
He's going to coach him, the urine he's out gonna of be, him? Yes. Like, I don't... What? Yeah.
Well, you know.
What is that?
That's a demanding coach.
The other thing you coach out of
him? Demanding coach?
I don't know. But he really...
A lot of respect for Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah, great leader.
A lot of respect for the way that he coaches.
Yes.
And I understand all that. The running backs room won't be that big or crowded.
No, it won't.
You know who we forgot? Not we forgot. I should speak for myself.
No. Go ahead.
Ian Wheeler. Remember Ian Wheeler? The running back who was the star of Hard Knocks, who went down with the knee injury at the end of it.
Oh, yeah.
He's back.
Oh, he is?
Ruthie Polinsky reminded me of this yesterday on the Big Pro Football Show when I was like, yeah, Ian Wheeler. Remember that kid?
Was he going to be a doctor?
I have to look up the... Yeah. I think you're right. But he's also rehabilitating a knee injury.
Right.
So he'll be in there. Right.
Wow.
Well, could be a sleeper. You never know. But Eric Bieniemy getting a lot of praise.
Yes, he's getting
for being
tons
a guy
of praise.
That is going to make a difference. They've got a good staff.
I like that. I like that they have different players from different systems, right? And he talked about that at one point in the offseason where he had people from all these different kind of these like subsets,
mm-hmm.
and that gave him a little bit of this and a little
it's
bit of
that. It's a diverse group.
I like it.
Diverse backgrounds. When we come back, also, there were other coaches that spoke today.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we could turn around the fact we heard from one of your favorites.
Your guy, The Flower.
Yes, we heard from him. We'll talk about that.
That's pretty fun stuff. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Mornings with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Correct me if I'm wrong, you don't go way back with Ben Johnson?
I do not.
So what'd you think when he took a shot at you?
So, you know, I'm sure he's playing to the fans a little bit. It is what it is. I'm not going to lose too much sleep on it.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
That was probably the best part of this morning.
That is the voice of Matt LaFleur.
Yeah.
Who is known on this show as The Flower.
The Flower.
And he was asked, what happens at these owners' meetings is you sit for a little breakfast with whatever the local reporters are. So I'm sure that's someone, I don't
or
think
national.
It was a national guy.
I don't know who that
could have been, but they wanted to know, they're just kind of stirring it up a little bit, try to get a little response from the Flower as to what. What Ben Johnson said of Matt LaFleur, he made a point of saying in his introductory news conference that he enjoyed beating him twice a year.
Yes.
And so LaFleur concludes, well, he's playing to the crowd. But he did enjoy beating him twice a year.
Matt Schneidman from The Athletic is reportedly who asked the question. And I don't think that Matt LaFleur and Ben Johnson know each other well enough to have gone to a Marquette game together.
I thought it was Schneidman. I wasn't sure, but I'm glad you clarified.
Yes.
It sounded like Schneidman.
It did sound like him, didn't it? Yes, definitely. We have
I don't know Schneidman.
The Green Bay Packers beat. It was a funny thing, and if
he
it
didn't sound
a little,
amused, though.
Well, I don't think he was.
And he kind of
word on the street was that Matt LaFleur was not amused.
He was understated a little. He was almost, I'm not saying he was whispering and he's a coward.
I kind of like that about Ben Johnson.
I like that Ben Johnson had no problem going after.
I like that he
shot across the
on
bow.
His first day on the job wasn't so self conscious that he was weighing every word and measuring every syllable because you don't communicate well that way.
And the Flower is now a damaged man. After conquering,
wilted,
after taking care of Eberflus, the Bears got him back at the end of the year. And they ended that streak he had going.
Eberflus
against
never beat
the Bears.
The Flower, did he?
Eberflus never beat the Flower.
Even tried to steal state secrets when they went together to see the Marquette.
They didn't go together. They ran into each other.
No, they went together. I think we agreed that they went together. They bought each other popcorn.
Yes.
They shared a moment.
LaFleur was much more vocal and happy because he knew he had the upper hand.
He always did.
Now, with Ben Johnson, well, I don't know him.
Did you see the owners meeting coach's photo, as you described earlier?
Yes.
One of the things that it looked like, Ben Johnson sitting there with that silly grin on his face like, I know something the rest of you don't.
Yes, and the Flower.
That includes you, Flower.
Flower looks scared.
He looks definitely.
And Nick Sirianni had no pants on. I was wearing shorts. Is all
he's
I
wearing
meant.
Shorts. But if you win the Super Bowl, you can wear whatever you want.
Yes, no question.
That's
last
the rule.
2 years, Andy Reid's shown up in the Tommy Bahama shorts to the picture.
Andy
so.
Reid was wearing pants this year.
He was.
Yes.
As was everyone.
Not a lot of guys are wearing socks. Nick. I don't know
socks in the
is
NFL.
Is that the new thing?
I mean, honestly, even if I'm golfing, I want to wear socks.
We'll have to see next year. Does the trend continue? If you win the Super Bowl, you wear shorts to the coach's picture.
Who's that going
to
be, Tyler? Who's that going to be, Tyler?
Ben Johnson.
Look at that.
I mean, can we say that? No.
Sitting in for Dustin Rhodes in the meatball role this morning, Tyler Farengol.
Tyler, you can't say it.
Huh? Picking the Bears to win the Super Bowl on April Fool's.
Yeah.
Of course.
Oh,
man.
Geez.
April Fool's.
It is the 1st of April, by
it is.
The way.
Yes, April 1st.
That's
fun
good.
Program tonight, 6-7 on the score.
Bloopers?
Yeah, breaking news bloopers.
Yeah, those are hilarious.
Over history.
We have played those over the years, like different wacky things we were prepared for.
The promo was entertaining.
It never happened. The promo was very
entertaining. LeBron James signs with the Bulls. Dave Wannstedt takes over a management position with the Bears.
Yes, Yes.
Those things did not happen.
No, but we
unless I missed something.
We were prepared for everything.
We were prepared for everything.
It's like when you worked at the newspaper. I don't know if you had this experience, but when you're coming up, one of the roles you get is you got to update or write some of the death notices. Not death notices, but just sort of, you know, you got to be able to put down everything that someone has accomplished, because they have, there are older mm-hmm. people people think are going to shuffle off this mortal coil,
and
you
want to
be prepared with an obit.
Never had to do that, but was well aware of that.
Yeah. It's not as much fun as you think.
No, it's not.
Writing in the
We need to have fun. Let's have some fun.
Still alive.
Let's have some fun with Bruce.
Yeah, we got Bruce. We got baseball talk with our guy, Bruce Levine. We will do that next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.